I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. That's right. Welcome back. And if it's your first time here, we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, tis the season to be jolly. How jolly are you tonight?
Well, I'm fairly jolly. I'm making a dent in my decanter of whiskey here tonight, so that's certainly helping. But what's also helping is we have a special guest. He hasn't been on the show in a long time, and I'm not allowed to say when his birthday is. Let's just say it's around this time that we're recording this. So we thought we'd bring him on. He can't make the live show that we're recording on Saturday, because he's going to be in Delaware, like, for some fucking reason. Who the hell wants to go to Delaware? But that's where he'll be. So we thought we'd bring him on here tonight so he can help us celebrate the Deep Dive Podcast Network, which he's a part of on two different shows. And it may or may not be his birthday today. He's afraid someone's going to steal his identity. I asked him, who the fuck wants to be you? He countered that. Maybe he'll tell us all about it. Ladies and gentlemen, the cult leader himself, John Mariano, is here tonight. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great. How are you?
I was doing better until you give away the fact that I'm not going to be home this weekend.
Oh, sorry. So if you're going to rob John, that would be a good time.
We have let the barrier down. He has entered the domain. Mariano has returned. So, yeah. Try to find his address as quick as you can.
Wait. You guys are now accessories to the robbery. So you guys will be part of the lawsuit.
I'm going to have to snip that little bit out now. He's got a point.
Yeah, well. Come and get me. Anyway,
lawyered.
John, how do you nicely? How do you feel? Do you feel as old as you are, or do you feel only as young as you feel? How do you feel?
I feel about 7 years older than I actually am.
Ah, that's a lucky number seven. So that's a good thing. Yeah.
Aches and pains are a real thing, youngin. Like that. get ready.
When you reach a certain age, and I can attest, I'm up there with John. Once you hit a certain plateau, it really goes downhill fast. So yeah, aches and pains are definitely a very real thing.
Oh, don't I know it. I might be the youngster on the crew here, but I got bad knees. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for that. But you're not here to hear about what is aching in our bodies. You came here to hear about Van Halen stuff, because that's what we do here. We talk about Van Halen. We go through some songs. We go through some news, if there is news in the ether, which surprisingly, despite the fact that Van Halen hasn't been an active band in quite some time, there's always something going on in the ether. John, would you say you always have something to say about Van Halen?
I always have something to say. Sometimes it's about Van Halen. Occasionally it's a critique about a podcast.
Oh.
And I got to talk to you about something, man. I was listening to you at the top of the show. What's with the Rockers and Rockettes? Like, are you trying to steal from Radio City Music Hall? Or are you, like what's going on there? Or why aren't we all just rockers?
Well, if you listen to the show, especially at the top, you'll notice I always intro with Rockers, Rockettes, and everything in between, because it's all inclusive, John. Even you, we're inclusive to every form of rock person that there is, every enthusiast of the rock, a rocker, a rockette, or whatever term that I am just not familiar with, because I don't know. I'm also I might be younger, but I am an old person. I don't get the terms. So does that answer your question?
A little bit, maybe.
Okay. We aim to please. We aim to help out. Ish. Yes. Well, I mean, look, we're not experts, but we are expertish. So, you know, it is what it is. Corey, speaking of Van Halen news, I don't think there's anything newsworthy, but there is something interesting going on in the world of Van Halen. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. And if you head over to the Van Halen news desk, which I recommend everybody do to get their Van Halen news, don't get it from Mark and I. We're not experts. And if you listen to our reviews, we don't know a fucking thing about anything. So go to the Van Halen news desk. That's where you're going to get all this stuff. There's a great article, actually. Joe Satriani in an interview talked about how he, Alex Van Halen, David Lee Roth, came close to performing a new New York concert in August of 2021. So go check out that article. But another thing has kind of gone viral the last week and a bit here. On the internet, and it's a mashup. Some very talented person by the name of Bill McClintock actually mashed up Jose Feliciano's Feliz Navidad with Van Halen's Ain't Talking About Love. And considering we're in the holiday season, I thought maybe we'd play a little bit of that here tonight. Have you guys heard this?
I have heard it. I've heard a little snippet of it, and I purposely stopped listening after a moment because I had a feeling you were going to bring this up.
Johnny, have you heard this one?
No, I have these two other podcasts I work on. So I, the guy who runs those doesn't let me get out much to listen to stuff.
Well, I tell you, you're certainly not doing any prep for those shows. So you must have time on your hands, but fear not, my friend, we're going to play a little bit for you here tonight. This is Jose Feliciano's Feliz Navidad mashed up with Ain't Talking About Love. The video is amazing. I tell you, that is just magical.
I so badly need this in the reverse.
Jose Feliciano singing the lyrics to Feliz Navidad, Ain't Talking About Love?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't know how you listen to this and don't feel that's the song that you want to hear right now.
This doesn't happen often, but I absolutely kind of agree with John. I would really love to hear that version. And I just want to point out that Ain't Talking About Love is a song that I have been looking forward to discussing and listening to on this show. We have yet to spin it. So what we're hearing, that we finally get to listen to Ain't Talking About Love, and it's a mashup. I just want to put that out there just because it's a silly fact. We like to have fun here, but I don't know. It's wild.
I love this kid in the red sweater. I had to show that. He's very enthusiastic about police.
So into it.
there's a guy that they're showing, that Corey's showing us right now, just for the folks at home, that is so enthusiastic about being on camera. I don't think he cares what song he's singing.
I love that the performance footage they used is the performance on Jimmy Kimmel when David cut his nose.
He's got this big old bit. There's the guy. Yeah. He's got a big old bandage on his face.
But Dave is just hamming it up, grinning from ear to ear. It's just, it's magical. Maybe they'll show Red Sweater Kid again here before we stop it.
Show him push over a little kid to get to the front. Where the camera
I love that. Oh, God. There he is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wonderful. If that doesn't get you in the Christmas spirit, nothing will.
I mean, Feliz Navidad, Van Halen, the mashup you never knew that you wanted and that you needed. And here it is. So thank you. Tell me again who gave us this beautiful mashup.
That is Bill McClintock. And it's Bill absolutely McClintock. Wonderful. Yeah, and you can find it on the entire thing is on the Van Halen news desk. Go check it out.
Yeah, you're doing the Lord's work there, Bill. So thank you very much.
Amen. Amen.
and happy holidays to all. With that out of the way, Corey, you know what time it is. It's time to mosey on over to the rockin' poll, the poll that we put out every week after we do a show to ask you, the audience, what you think about the particular tracks. So we did I'll Wait I'll Wait last week, a different sort of Van Halen song, the sort of Steve Winwood, Michael McDonald-esque Van Halen song that everyone on the show voted yes. It is what dreams are made of, because why wouldn't you? It's I think it's a classic. But what did the audience have to say on Twitter?
The audience was in agreement, Mark. It was 94.7% what dreams are made of. 5.3% this dream is over. So that's like a vote, maybe two. That's one that John, did you vote in the poll this past week?
I was just about to ask.
I've been surprisingly scaling back my Twitter activity lately. I don't know why. Huh. Maybe current events, but I did not participate in this poll.
Okay, well,
so, and normally I do. Normally I'm very active on your guys' feed, but yeah, the algorithm's all out of whack right now, and finding anything is crazy.
Okay, well, why don't we put you in the hot seat real quick? Are you familiar with the song "I'll Wait" from Van Halen? And if so, would you say it is what dreams are made of, or is the dream over for you?
I am not, but if Corey wants to bring up like maybe the first five bars, I will give you a rash judgment on it.
I can do that. You're gonna get a little bonus this week from 1984. This is a few bars of "I'll Wait." What do you think?
I'm used to voting that the dream is over. What was the other one that you can vote for?
What dreams are made of.
So it's the dream is over, or what dreams are made of. I'm not used to voting this way.
I know.
And by that I mean in person. Usually I'm used to clicking on one of the buttons. But I gotta go. This song is absolutely what dreams are made of.
Attaboy. Good job.
for everyone keeping track at home, all you musicians, you'll know that was not an entire full bar, and that just makes me laugh. It was just a couple of notes.
That's all he needed. That's
all he needed. He just needed that little intro to remind him, like, oh, that song, yes. And there you go. So add it to the numbers.
Oh, I didn't recognize it at all. I could just tell the rest of that was gonna rock.
Why are you playing Steve Winwood on the show? What the hell is this?
Sounds like a Doobie Brothers song. All right, let's get to some of our comments, shall we, on I'll Wait. Let's start with Trockman 5150, who said, the closest they've come to doing a ballad in the Roth era. I see why Dave struggles with it. Everyone blames Sammy for the more commercial sound. 1984 is proof that Van Halen was already heading that way, regardless of the singer.
Yeah, who the hell blames Sammy for for any of that. Sammy wasn't writing the music.
Yeah.
Like, you're pointing the fingers at the wrong person. Like, I don't, what, yeah, but good point. This is exactly a good example of where they were headed. And then if you needed a further example, the biggest song that they ever put out is also on this record and is also synth heavy. Mm-hmm.
But Mark, you're asking a question and generationally you don't get it. The answer is middle schoolers of the time were blaming Sammy 150%. And that,
right.
that was all of us. And if you can remember what it was like to be in middle school, you'll understand that if something changes, you blame the thing that changes, not the things that are constant.
I can, and you are correct. That's twice now that I've agreed with John on this show. What is happening? Maybe I'm just imbibed with the Christmas spirit and I'm feeling generous. I don't know, but somebody help me.
Now, speaking of generous, let's go to our good friends from the Deep Purple Yule cast who say, I mean, yeah. Come on, absolute classic. Enough said.
Yeah.
Tom Armbruster, a friend of the show, says, I love the drum tones. They're so brown.
Brown drums, brown noise. Gotcha.
Mike Griffith says, written by Michael McDonald. There is a video for this that wasn't released. Yes, keyboards, but holds up, unlike some others in the Sammy era. So even in a compliment, he has to take a shot at Sammy. Come on. Like,
oh, my God. Jeez. What are we going to? Okay, it's fine. I'll save it for next time.
Sean Geek and Fast Fret, they've been pretty negative the last couple times, but here they say, I can't vote this anything but up, up, up. This was the first song I ever sang in front of people. There are so many memories behind this song that I am 100% jaded to loving it, which bodes the question, did people ask you to sing in front of them, or are you just randomly singing in front of people at like the grocery store or something?
Yeah, I mean, if they're paying you, then by all means, sing it. Sing it as much as you want.
Robert says, another great track from the great band. I found it interesting in the past couple of years with all the details about Ted Templeman bringing Michael McDonald in and how that worked out. And you can read more about that in Greg Renoff's Ted Templeman book, among others. It's been covered quite extensively. Gene Hickey says, love the song so much. It's the first time I've voted before listening to the episode. Nothing you could have said would have gotten this stream is over vote from me. This track is killer. Great show as always, and the Bogus Otis guys killed it. I agree with that too.
Absolutely, they did.
Yeah, those guys were a lot of fun. Looking forward to maybe doing a live show with them come January. I've already put the bug in the ear of those guys and the DLR cast guys. We're going to do a Sammy versus Dave show coming up in January. That should be fun.
Oh, boy.
Will Tennant says, absolutely phenomenal as a creation of Eddie Van Halen. The Rock Roulette podcast, podcast brothers of ours on the Deep Dive Podcast Network, say, this is a great song that doesn't get mentioned as much as others on 1984. Great DLR lyrics, Michael Anthony vocals, and Alex drums. Love, love, love the solo. Eddie Van Halen is a master of composing a solo that fits the song while always throwing something in that makes you go, wait, what?
We're not fully convinced that these are entirely DLR lyrics, but I see what you're, I like your enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. Greg Zeno says, great song and great show with Brent Kennard and Darren from the Bogus Otis show. Love the thoughts on Billy Gibbons style solo, and Mark's idea to do a show with Dave and Sammy side by side on the same song is what dreams are made of.
Boom.
Kyle Anderson says, when I play my Van Halen playlist on shuffle, I'll wait for this song to play.
See what you did there. Very clever. Yeah. Clever boy.
Rava Flave says, was there an old interview with Dave where he said that the Calvin Klein model that he was writing about for this song was Brooke Shields? There could have been. I don't recall that, but I wouldn't be surprised. That's right around the same era. She was quite popular doing Calvin Klein jean ads. So.
Could be.
Michael Green says, this song is a great deep cut. I feel it's never mentioned. I love the keys, drums, and love the vocals. The lyrics are underrated. It has always been a personal fave. All Wait is a huge thumbs up. It's what dreams are made of. Great show all.
Yay, thank you.
Oh, here's one. Kevin Brown has been quite negative the last couple of songs.
Yes, he has.
He actually shocked our guests last week with his comment. They're like, oh my goodness. But he was hoping for more positivity this week. Let's see what Kev has to say. Great episode as always, boys. Absolutely epic track and kind of forgotten on 1984 sometimes. Sounds very much of its time, but that doesn't take away from it at all. Fantastic chorus, great arrangement, and such a clever, tasty guitar solo from Ed. top shelf, what dreams are made of. And then he continues to say, he also loved the Jan Hammer comparison. We talked about the 80s vibe to it. But he actually took the training montage from Rocky and put it to I'll Wait, and said, no, then tell me that this doesn't work, or I'll Wait. And it absolutely does work. So find that tweet from Kevin Brown on this thread, and you'll get to see Rocky working out to Van Halen. It's pretty epic.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a mildly negative one. Jeff Fisher says, I acknowledge that this is a good song, but I never want to listen to it for some reason.
Huh. That's it? Just yeah. No why? Just the...
Nope. Listen to it. Yep, fair enough.
All right, that's fair.
Scott Monroe says, a great lyrical narrative foreshadowing how great Van Halen could sound when branching out beyond party rock. The absence of guitar for much of the song makes the beautiful solo all the more resonant and earned. Also loved your guest comments on it being kind of a yin to Jump's yang. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then Scott also actually posts two excerpts from different books. One is the Templeman book by Greg Renoff, and the other one is the Eddie interview Interruption by Brad Tolinsky. So if you want to read those excerpts, it kind of gives you, it paints a different picture of how Michael McDonald kind of came into play on that song. Okay. Very, very interesting stuff. Ryan Powell, who's still going through his list of favorite Van Halen songs, make sure you check that out on Twitter, says, fuck, in 1984 were my first two Van Halen albums, and this is one of my early favorites on a great intro to the DLR era. Love the thick, deep synth bass, and the guitar solo is a chef's kiss on this keyboard-driven gem. Pleasantly surprised the poll is so one-sidedly positive, too. Yes, so was I.
Very much so.
Rava Flav is back and says, brooding. That's the right word. I usually passed on this song, but your breakdown has made me enjoy it. Unusual for Dave to not scream, and it's a simple and yet perfect lead from Ed. I think that this one is one of your better shows. Thanks for the insight. So thank you for that comment. Yeah.
We'll chalk that up to the guests making it better.
100%. Yeah. And now John has to try and top it tonight. Good luck, buddy. Mm. And finally, Brad Gould says, yes, Mark the Bat, we can all live in Van Halen harmony with all three singers. That is a great sentiment to end on. Yep.
Yeah. There it is.
And those are the comments.
Thank you very much. Very much. I can see something stirs behind the eyes of our guest, Mariano. What troubles you, sir?
Just Corey getting a little salty there in the comments. So it's very weird for a Canadian to get salty.
How was I salty? Where was I salty?
Well, first of all, you challenged me to be a better guest than somebody, and I feel like you should just want all your guests to be great.
Right? Well, most of them are.
What kind of semi lousy host are you trying to talk down your guest who's kind enough to join your podcast?
When you got a semi lousy guest, you kind of have to, you know, make chicken salad out of chicken shit, don't you?
And then on top of that, like that, I get that we want to pump up all three singers, and Sharon in his own right is a great singer. Mm-hmm. I stand by. I don't feel Sharon was ever a great singer for this band. And that's part of that's timing, and part of that is chemistry. And I think that those two things just did not align with Mr. Sharon. And it's not a knock. People have this tendency to say Gary Sharon's terrible. Well, go listen to Extreme and go tell me he's terrible, right?
Exactly.
He's not. He was not a good fit for this band, especially at the time this band had him fronting it.
I tell you what, there's some live bootlegs out there from the Van Halen 3 tour where he is killing both Sammy stuff and Dave stuff. So the chemistry was coming. The chemistry was coming.
But the problem is that they got into the studio too soon. Yep. Like mm-hmm. you're arguing something that never was and never happened.
I'm not arguing anything. No, I'm arguing that I'm saying that on that tour he sounded good.
But nobody's. I'm not saying he didn't sound good.
That's 100% what you're saying.
No, I'm 100% saying he was not a good fit for the band at the time, which is true, because if he was a good fit for the band, he would have fronted it for years to come, and we would have forgotten the last two lead singers, and we wouldn't have had reunion tours.
For the people keeping up at home, take a shot. Apologies to Gary. But three for three, I'm agreeing with what John is saying. Something's happening. I don't know what it is. But I don't know. Maybe this is a bad omen, perhaps. I don't know. Something tells me the wheel's going to be very unkind, or I don't know. Maybe, perhaps, it'll be a Festivus miracle, and we'll get just a really awesome track. But if we don't, we know who to blame, Corey. So always thank you. Yeah, thank you for reading the poll results. Thank you all for participating. Keep it up. We love it. We enjoy it. But now it is time to get to the nitty gritty of it all and go towards the aforementioned wheel, the wheel of doom or the wheel of surprise. Either way, it could be, it's anyone's guess. But before we do that, we got to do the favorite thing that everyone loves to do. Say it with me, folks. Manifestations.
Take a shot.
Marion. Yeah, take your shot again. So that's two shots already. You're all going to be drunk as hell by the time this is done. Speaking of drunk as hell, John, what song do you want to manifest on? It's your special time. We'll say it's your birthday week. We'll say that. It's your birthday week. You're feeling older. You're feeling wiser. But I feel like you're missing some Van Halen in your life, a particular Van Halen track. So you tell me, what is it you want to hear on the show tonight?
You know me, Mark, and I love my puns.
Yes.
And I love dirty humor more so than puns.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I would appreciate anything off of OU812, if we could get something off of For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, I would be ecstatic tonight.
You and me both. So you're just gonna shoot your shot on any track from the Fuck album.
I wanna fuck hard tonight.
He wants to fuck hard. He wants to fuck right now. Yeah.
If you want to fuck right now, we can fuck right now.
We'll be on top of the world if so. But enough of that. So we've got one manifestation for anything from the Fuck album. We are due for a track from that album. Corey, What is it you want to manifest tonight? What do you want to bring to the table? Do you want to just completely destroy John's birthday dreams of a good fuck, or do you want to continue it, or what do you got in mind?
Well, you know what, I'm feeling, because it's John's birthday week, his birthday certainly isn't today as we're recording this, and we won't say what day we're recording, but it's definitely not today. No. But I know, despite what he was talking about, his favorite Van Halen album is Van Halen 3. So I think we need to go back to Van Halen 3, and I'm hoping for his favorite track off Van Halen 3, Josefina. So that's what I'm hoping to manifest here tonight.
Why would you do it? Why would you do that? Why would you give the wheel just that inch of...
I'm doing it for John.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's
fuck
special...
you right now.
maybe if we're so lucky, John, we might spin that. But, Jesus. I think that's we've just plagued ourselves with that one. I for one am going to try so hard to manifest not Van Halen 3 this time. Not that I don't enjoy the shows that we have when we talk about tracks from that album, but you know, maybe not for tonight. So instead, I'm gonna jump aboard the Mariano wagon, and I'm gonna say I need something from the Fuck album. However, I am going to shoot my shot. Here we go. I want to talk Pound Cake. Ooh, that's right.
That's
Pound
a big one.
Pound Cake. It is a big one. We have not spun it. We've been waiting for it. It's definitely one we've. I know, Corey, you've tried to manifest that one.
Oh, yeah.
Once or twice at least.
Yeah.
I would absolutely love to hear it. But if the wheel is so kind and wants to give us another song from that album, I'll be happy with that. Maybe we get a little Pleasure Dome just to see. Just as a middle finger back at Corey for Manifest Van Halen 3 track. I don't know. We'll see.
We're all salty. Look at this.
We are salty bitches. We need some sweet treats. It's 'tis the season. We need to get a little bit sweeter. Well, depending on what the wheel gives us, will depend on how we carry forward. So without further ado, I know Mariano's ready. Corey, I hope you're ready. I hope Sammy's in the back ready, because I'm ready. Whenever you're ready, let's spin that wheel.
All right, Johnny, seeing as how it's your birthday month, I'm going to let you pick a number, and that's how many times we're going to shuffle it. I was going to ask your age, but I'd get carpal tunnel hitting the shuffle button that many times. So just give me a number between 1 and 10.
I was ready to give you my age so hard. I guess 10, right?
10. All right.
That's the closest we can get to carpal tunnel, right?
There you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, there's Josephina. 9, 10. Okay. Take it away, Sammy.
Here we go.
Oh, we're going to head to 5150, and ooh, Love walks in. All right, Mark, man. I know you got to be happy with this one.
I'm not mad whatsoever. I am a little bit, we were very close to get Runaround from the Fuck album. We were very, very close. So I thought we could make a birthday wish come true. Unfortunately, we could not, but I don't think we're in for a bad time with Love Walks In from 5150. What do you think?
Well, it's going to be interesting. This is the one that, you know, when I was younger listening to 5150, I thought this was a love song and had no idea it was about, you know, Sammy's alien encounters. So lyrically, we're going to have some fun with this one. But you can't go wrong with the 5150 cut, right? John, I know it's not from the Fuck album, but it's a Sammy tune. Are you looking forward to this one?
I almost quit when my song didn't come up.
I guess that would have been fair, but you know.
We're here to listen to a Van Halen song. We'll listen to a Van Halen song. Wait, let me see.
The saltiness has not dwindled whatsoever. If anything, it's been enhanced. So what can you do?
All right. Before we get into the song, I want to read this quote from Sammy Hagar about this song, where he says, and I quote, "I'm a firm believer, have seen, have felt, have been contacted 3 or 4 different times. I have received information that has been valuable in my life from those people," quote, extraterrestrial life, unquote, "and they have used me. I'm going to sound like a complete nut here, but they have used me in an experimental fashion. The easiest way to put it is that they downloaded my brain information."
I'm going to have to fact check you on that one, because I'm pretty sure you just gave us an Ace Frehley quote.
No, that actually came from Sammy Hagar.
What year did that come out? Because at what point did we start understanding the term download? I'm curious.
Well, the song came out in 86.
Right. Yeah. But when did that quote happen? Because download feels like it feels very early for the word download.
No, I think we're fine on the word download.
But back in 86, I was using a floppy disk, my friend.
Well, I guess you could still technically download back then.
No, Mark, you could still do a lot of things. It wasn't part of the lexicon, is what I'm saying.
No.
Right?
Okay. So you're saying, you're suggesting Sammy was a little ahead of his time.
No, I'm suggesting Sammy's a time traveler.
Okay, well, it turns out, according to Google, which is never wrong, OED noticed that the word download for the first time in 1976.
Ooh. Right, but what was the first time before?
What was the first time rock stars were using it in common conversation? Okay.
Well, if you're Sammy Hagar, you're using it all the time.
Yeah. I don't know if this was a quote from a casual conversation. Like, I'd love more context for this.
I feel like the first time a rock star used the word download, it was Lars Ulrich.
Okay, remember, the aliens gave him information too.
He
received information that was valuable in his life. That could also include the term download.
Again, I think there's this some Ace Frehley crossover has been happening here.
I don't know if you watch sci-fi movies, but alien technology goes with the time. So at that time, it'd probably be like Pong, or maybe like a slightly higher. It wasn't quite 8-bit yet. Like, I know 8-bit had just come out on Nintendo, but they hadn't picked up on that technology yet. They adapt our technology based on movies.
Look, but at this point in 86, we already had a Star Wars trilogy, which had like a buku amount of weird.
Did you see the screens in Star Wars when they're looking at the monitors?
I did. Right? Well, yeah, but did you see the ships?
Oh, I did. I saw the movie. They were miniature models. They weren't in a computer at all, Mark. They actually built that stuff.
Damn it. I hate you so much. Oh, God. Well, right. You know what? It's your birthday. I'm gonna let you take that one. Well, I don't know the context for what made Sammy say this particular quote, but I'm sure he had his reasons.
You know what? I'll provide more context as we get into the song. I found a couple more passages here that came from his autobiography, Red. So we'll play a little bit of the tune, and yeah, I'll give you guys some more context. But this is "Love Walks In," the third single off of 1986, 5150.
DLR gets all the credit for being the fun one, right? But on this album, the opening of this song is some of the most fun synth keyboard that you're going to hear in music, right?
Oh, like, yes, folks, we're starting with more keys.
My hips are shaking as we're going along. Am I the only one here?
Well, it could be osteoporosis. You could be having a stroke. We don't know.
Okay, blink twice if you're okay.
So, Mark, do you see what I mean? The Corey's very salty. Like, here I am, and I'm thoroughly... And you wouldn't expect this from me, because you and I go toe-to-toe a lot on DLR and Sammy a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming in hot endorsing this Sammy song right off the bat.
It's true. You are. To your credit, you are doing that.
Yeah, and I'm not doing it to Brown. I was like, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Like, you're watching me, like... I'm like dancing like the gopher from because that's my only dance move, guys. I dancing like Caddyshack. The gopher from Caddyshack right now as the song's going on, and I'm grooving to it. And Corey comes in very salty and raining on my parade as if I shouldn't be enjoying the song. So, Corey, how should I feel about the song right now?
You should feel however you want to feel, John.
He's all right. Nothing to worry about. I mean. But yeah, take a shot every time John calls Corey salty. Like I said, you're going to be drunk as shit by the end of the show.
All right, so I found another passage here from the book. This is Sammy Hagar speaking here, and he says, quote, "When I was about 19 or 20, they downloaded everything that was in my head, and I caught them doing it. I woke up in the middle of the night thinking, what's going on? They were like, oh my God, he's waking up. But this was all telepathy. There was no words being spoken. And as soon as I woke up, it was probably 3 o'clock in the morning. My whole room was so bright that I could hardly keep my eyes open. I was wide awake. I could not move, eyes open. White room, they were still disconnecting, and when they did, it just went bang."
Acid is a hell of a drug, kids. You know, please use responsibly. But it's very clear that these passages provided what would become plot points for the 90s hit TV show The X-Files, because that's all I can think about when I hear this quote.
Now, when you first heard this song, Mark, is that what you were thinking when you're listening to the lyrics of this? Like, oh, clearly he had his brain downloaded by aliens.
No. The first time I heard this song, I was way too young to even remotely comprehend the content of the lyrics, because I didn't care, because I was listening to Van Halen. And I was enthralled by the synth keys and, Alex's very heavily reverb on his snare drum. That happens. I did not know the content of the lyrics. Definitely would not have put that together at all.
John, have you ever been visited by aliens?
I mean, I hung out with Jeff once.
Right. And that's pretty close, yeah.
That's very close.
Did he download information from your brain?
No, but I do feel a lot better. This is the Red autobiography, right?
Yes.
So that quote would have been from 2012, and the internet definitely existed by then.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel way better that he wasn't talking about the internet and downloading way back when in 86.
There we go.
Maybe he helped Al Gore create it.
Oh, there you go. That could be some of the information the aliens gave him.
Okay, yeah. Wait, first of all, he might be a bear and a pig, but I question whether or not, oh no, he is a man. Wait, so no, maybe he is man.
He is a man. Ooh, you heard it here, folks. Ooh, conspiracy theory. Sammy Hagar is man, bear, pig. I mean, when he hits those high notes, it definitely kind of sounds like you shot a pig in the side. So, I mean, maybe.
Now who's salty? You're comparing Sammy's vocal stylings to a pig getting shot in the side?
I'm saying when you shoot a pig in the side, they make a very high, like, wailing sound. And most humans can't hit that note. Sammy Hagar can.
Thank you for clarifying. Yes.
I was thinking he was a pig because of his inability to drive 65.
Or 55.
Whatever.
Also 65, too. It stands to reason if he can't drive 55, there's no chance he's driving 65.
That's right.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Okay, yeah, I know you're waving, John, but waits for the opening kind of elicits a visual you don't necessarily want, doesn't it?
No, because as I remember listening to this as a teenager, really thinking he was singing about a vagina here.
I mean,
he was, he's singing about an orifice. I don't think it's a vagina, though.
I thought this was about Sammy Hagar losing his virginity in every way possible. I thought everything was a metaphor. I didn't realize that this is actually just what happened to him.
I know.
Kind of alien washing over me or whatever he says there.
Yeah.
Right. I thought that was a vagina wrapping around him. I didn't think that was just an actual alien, like
probing him.
Yeah.
Pulls a string.
Some kind of alien.
Simply
yeah.
Pulls a string.
Waits for
I don't
the
know
opening
what that's
mark.
About. Waits. For... Look, okay. I've already conceded on multiple occasions at this point that sometimes, yes, Sammy's lyrics are, well, they are what they are. They're not the greatest. Now that you've provided me with interesting quotes about his feelings in writing this song and his mindset, I really don't know how to feel about this song now.
Well, and I'm with John. You hear lines like, you know, some kind of alien. You think, oh, he's feeling isolated. He feels like, you know, he's alien to the situation. It's a brilliant metaphor. No, he's literally talking about an alien.
And Corey makes it very sensitive. I really felt like this was him losing his virginity, and his first reaction to seeing a vagina was some kind of alien waits for the opening. I really thought that those two lines when paired together was a virgin feasting his eyes for the first time on a vagina close to him.
I don't even want to touch the simply pulls a string line then, because you could go somewhere that that's not pleasant.
Maybe he's calling a specific part of himself some kind of alien. He calls it Shy-Halude.
I love that.
That's a Dune reference.
Then you sense a change. Nothing feels the same. All your dreams are strange. Love comes pounding in.
Right.
Maybe it is about Dune.
Right. So as you're reading it, you can see how teenage me really thought this was about sex, right?
Oh, yeah.
I give you full marks for that. And I would have continued believing it, too, had Corey not just shattered the glass of truth and be like, no, here, listen to what he said here in his book. Like, well, what the fuck? I don't know what to think.
There's another passage, too, I'll get to maybe after the guitar solo. But I just wanted to point it again. We're a minute 40 into the song. Yeah. And not a hint of a guitar yet. This is 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
No guitar.
2 weeks.
Wait. Have you guys seen the American Pie movies?
Yes. I've seen, not all of them probably, because they did so many direct-to-video ones, but I've seen like three or four of them.
But you saw the first one, right? Ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So in the first one, like, if you could put yourself in Jason Biggs' shoes when they're all betting to, like, lose their virginity or whatever, and he fucks a pie. Like, he's so desperate he fucks a pie, right? Like, that's the premise of the movie. Picture that guy reacting to a vagina for the first time. I feel like this song is that internal monologue.
Yeah.
So now when you go back to rewatch American Pie for your annual rewatches, and I'm sure you all do out there, this time hit the mute button when Jason Biggs is on screen about to fuck a pie and just start playing Love Walks In by Van Halen. And it'll give you a whole new perspective.
So and that, there's the confusion, because you know he's singing about there she stands in a silken gown. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an alien woman.
I'm so confused right now, guys. I legitimately, I know he wrote an autobiography, but I feel like he's fucking with us.
I mean, probably a little bit.
I don't know. I think he really believes it. Oh, I'm sitting funny. By the way, that's 2:36 before we hear our first little bit of guitar in this song.
As a, if I may, just a quick digression, just to get away from the content of what this song could be about. During the verses, I think you two might appreciate this. Are you getting any sort of vibes of Rocky Balboa arriving in Russia to train before he fights a big Russian boxer who may or may not be enhanced? Because I'm getting very Burning Heart vibes during the verses of this song. Am I crazy?
Oh, not at all. Burning Heart. Yeah. Even just the orchestral score is very, very much reminiscent of the song.
Yeah. I got it almost from the get go. It's like, I felt like I almost had to double check myself. I'm like, is Van Halen on the Rocky soundtrack? They're not. But I had that moment of like, is this a Rocky song? It's not, but it feels like it.
It definitely feels like it's just that it has kind of the same sort of vibe and motif of Survivor's Burning Heart. It is not Burning Heart, obviously, but I'm glad I'm not the only one who felt it.
So oddly enough, you have a lot of those things online. Like, it's almost like that meme, like I bought this from Wish, right? And you would never say that about Van Halen, even in the context of the Rocky soundtrack. But like whatever, like the better version of something is. So like Wish is the worst version of something. So if it was like an improved version of something, that's what the song is. Like if you reverse that meme.
I stand by that.
I just want to give Kevin Brown the assignment right now. Take the training montage in Rocky and replace Vince DiCola's training montage music with the verse from Love Walks In. We'll see how that fits.
Please do that, Kevin. Just if nothing else, it'll make us laugh.
Yeah.
Wait, are we putting in a request to Kevin? Because if he could do that, also, if you could put this over the scene where Mrs. Robinson holds her leg up and Dustin Hoffman stares at her in The Graduate, I'd greatly appreciate it.
And can we maybe put this over top of Indiana Jones running away from the boulder in Raiders of the Lost Ark? I think it would work there too.
And like maybe if you're not too busy, can we also put this? I don't know. I didn't have anything. All right, what was the count? How long did it take for us to get to a guitar solo?
Oh, what did I say? It was like 236, somewhere in there, 235. So, yep.
So, it passed by a little bit when you stopped it at that point. So, let's just say almost at the 3-minute mark, no guitars. And then here comes Eddie. That's interesting. It's very, very interesting. It's not bad. I mean, it fits the song absolutely, and that solo rips. I don't really know what I'm trying to say here. It's just I just find it really interesting that it's almost as if they knew what they were doing with the keyboards was probably going to piss people off, and it almost feels like let's double down and go as long as we possibly can without guitars because I'm just going to keep playing keys.
Am I the only person that listens to Van Halen and realizes Eddie's playing the keys and going, Eddie's
yeah,
all
you're the
over
only
the
one
song?
That realizes that. Yes.
Well, we didn't say Eddie. I said guitar.
Yeah. I said guitar. Yeah.
Mark just said, and here comes Eddie. Eddie
with
was
the guitar.
Everyone go rewind a couple of minutes and tweet at Mark if he's wrong right now.
They're going to do that anyway. So joke's on you.
I'm siding with John because he's not picking on me at the moment. He's picking on you, so he's absolutely right.
I'll take it.
So my whole point is this whole song. Eddie's all over the song, and like flies on shit. He's all over the song, and then he changes instruments like 3 minutes in, which is so much more impressive than just hearing the guitar. And I'm not farting on the guitar. We all show up to hear Eddie's guitar for all these songs. But when you're listening to the keyboard, listen to a master of multiple instruments going to town.
Oh, it's true. And I've got nothing against the keys. Matter of fact, I'm one of the pro, because I'm pro Sammy. And everyone hates the Hagar era because they were such, they did use so much synth in their songs. Whereas, you know, I love it. So you're not hearing a complaint out of me. I just find that very interesting that guitar until 3 minutes in.
Yeah, it was about 2:30 because by the time the solo ended it was 3:02. But we have another pull quote for our eventual poster. John Mariano saying, "I'm not farting on the guitar."
There you go. I'll put that on a shirt.
There you go. All right, here's the third passage from Sammy Hagar's telling of his alien encounter. And he says, and I quote, "Everything went back to normal, back to black. I was shaking. I almost passed out. I was sick to my stomach and almost had to throw up. It was so scary. It sent me on a course of curiosity. I bought a telescope and I started reading UFO books. And I just got into the whole thing. And since then, there have been 3 or 4 other contacts with the same group of people." He calls them people. but they're aliens, I'm assuming. I don't know who the fuck they are, but I've narrowed them down to a people called the Nine, who are called that because they're from the ninth dimension. I've named my publishing company, The Nine Music, after them. It's a crazy thing, man, but to me, anyone who thinks we're the only ones here, despite the vastness of the entire universe, is fucking crazy. Those people got to be put away, not the guys having these contacts.
So I saw Neil deGrasse Tyson speak a few years ago. That dude used to work for NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he said, and I mean, maybe Sammy wants him locked up, I don't know. But one of the things that dude said is, from all the studying of space he's done in time, aliens as we consider them and think of them, the likelihood that they are out there is super unlikely, because most of the places that we're looking at, because of the amount of time it takes light to travel across the universe, are some of those civilizations are long gone, right? And this is a guy way smarter than me and way smarter than Sammy combined. And he said, if there is other life, it's most likely interdimensional beings. So I'm all for that. Now, Neil deGrasse Tyson is telling me there's a multiverse, but if he's telling me it's highly unlikely, and Sammy Hagar is saying he wants Neil deGrasse Tyson locked up for what he's saying, I gotta side with the guy from NASA.
I'm gonna go on a limb and say, he called it the ninth dimension. I'm gonna say it's the ninth realm. What we have here is Sammy Hagar was visited by Asgardians. Ooh. Asgard, as we all know, is one of the nine realms. It's at the top of the nine realms.
Excuse me, Mark.
Yes.
Are you saying Asgard?
Asgard, yes. Yes, because I mean he was abducted, right? And he was probably probed. This song would lead us to believe that something went down in that regard.
No, something went in. It didn't go down, it went in.
I correct myself. Something went in. And it was giving him strange dreams. I'm not gonna say it was low-key, but I'm not gonna say it wasn't, because that dude fucked everything.
Sorry, John.
No, I was gonna say, why are you talking in the last sense? That dude fucks everything.
Yeah. That's all I pray. I travel far
across the Milky Way. Okay, are you guys still telling me the song's not about sex? We traveled across the Milky Way is not a euphemism right now?
Look, what's man, euphemism we tried. For? Yeah, yes. We tried to make this about sex, but it's the alien talk is overwhelming. So I just can't look past it.
I would have easily called jizz the Milky Way.
Well, you would, yes. Maybe Sammy would not. Sammy's being not metaphorical here.
Well, in fairness, John does have unusually large ejaculate. Don't ask how I know. There was an unfortunate Zoom call. Unfortunate Zoom call 2 months ago. Wow.
It waves at Corey.
It's you guys work together an awful lot, so it's too bound much. To happen. It's bound to happen at some point. You're going to see some shit.
Literally. I like that he's become a slave now to his alien overlords who have taken his innocence rectally. We're assuming.
I mean, we assume allegedly. We assume. But yeah, I'm so confused by this song now. Like I wouldn't have been confused about this yesterday. But now I have like so many questions.
You know,
we're all asking them.
We got to work every contact we have at this point, Mark, and see if we can get a word from Sammy Hagar. Tell him, you know, this is a safe space. If you want to come on and talk about your experiences, no one's going to judge you or make fun. John won't be on the call, so you don't have to worry about that. But tell us about the lyrics of this song.
I have a request.
Okay.
If you make that happen, I absolutely won't be on the call. So that way he knows it's a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no way you guys have him as a guest without Jeff Saunders present.
Oh, good call.
Or Christy, because that would just, she would just have a field day with that.
Well, what is her thoughts on life in other dimensions?
Oh, she could probably write a dissertation about stuff like that. I would actually, in matter of fact, when we get done with the show here, we get wrapped up, because I don't know how familiar with this song she is, but I would love her perspective. So I'll have to follow up on this. So stay tuned, listeners, for Christy's perspective. Maybe we'll make that a new segment or something. I would just love to know what she thinks about all of this.
Me too. I think that'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
You can't tell me this isn't about getting an erection right now.
It could be both. At this point, yeah. I think it's both.
Wait, and then you sense a change. Nothing feels the same. I feel like I want to grab my books and cover my crotch before I stand up, basically, reading these lyrics.
The lyrics are turning you on there, John?
All your dreams are strange, right? Like, everything here says, like, you're daydreaming in class or something, and you gotta go protect yourself right now. I'm painting a picture, but really read these lyrics, right, as he's going along, and like put yourself back in like middle school or high school for a minute, and like, fuck, like, you know, and then you sense a change, like, whoa, what's going on down there, guy? And then you grab the textbooks.
I see what you're saying. I can't believe it, but you're making a lot of sense here. You're making points. It definitely sounds like sort of a puberty song, Mark. Like a changing of the adolescent. It's an adolescent song. Yes,
Corey hasn't agreed with me much tonight, so I'm going to appeal to you, Mark.
Okay.
If we're following this train of thought, the chorus ends with simply pose a string and then love comes walking in, right? The metaphor plays straight through, because after you pull the string, love comes walking in.
Well, technically it rushes out.
All I know is I think we're in for a very unfortunate Zoom call again, Mark, and you're gonna see for yourself.
Wait. I know you're imagining it rushing out of the body, Mark, but here's some science for you. Or maybe some history.
You are a scientist.
You were giving me science. I will give you some history. Okay. Back in the 80s, we wore a thing called tube socks.
Oh, yes, tube socks.
And tube socks had multiple purposes and uses back in the 80s.
I wouldn't say just the 80s, that they universally and through the ages, tube socks have never gone away. And it's because of what you're
alluding
to.
If you simply pull the string and the tube socks around, love comes walking in.
Jesus Christ. Well, kind of hard to fight that logic. What do you say we finish this thing out?
Welcome to Podcasting with John Mariano. Okay, so whether it's about sex or about being anally probed, he's enjoying the fuck out of it.
Oh,
because now it's baby pull the string. Life.
Yeah, he has accepted the fate of whatever it is. He's accepted it. He's ready for it. He wants more.
Here comes that opening. It's getting bigger. Oh, that's such a great outro. I love the Alex we got there at the end. That was fantastic.
letting him shine. It's always a fun time when Alex gets to shine. He was doing some really interesting things on that electric kit for this track. So yeah, well done, Alex. So there it is. The Love Walks in various interpretations as we got through. I'm surprised we made it through that. Okay. So letting it kind of settle and, you know, our minds are still sort of racing of the, is it or isn't it or what is it all of that. This is still a song of Van Halen's past, one from a very, very highly acclaimed album, LU812. So people are probably very familiar with this song. It wasn't one of their big hits, but it sounds like it could have been. So with that in mind, we'll start with John. John, you've had a lot to say about this song. It is, it's your special week. It's definitely not your special day at all. Definitely not today. But you have interpreted this song in your own special way, and how you felt about it before, how you feel about it now, even with Corey providing extra context, and you're holding your guns about what you think this is about. But the real question is Love Walks In what dreams are made of, or are the dreams just too strange and they're just finally over? What say you?
Aliens? I mean, I don't know what you can say. Like, I know we're picking on the song and the lyric meaning, but there are a few Van Halen songs I consider better than this song. It's a very complete song in a lot of ways. You can sit there and micromanage the lyrics all you want. When you write lyrics, let's say he wrote this about aliens. If I can interpret that about sex or discovering sex or discovering your body or whatever, like, those are great lyrics. And you know, we're sitting there listening to the keys and trying to count how long it is till a guitar shows up because we care about stats. But the reality is the keys are phenomenal. And then when the guitar kicks in, the solos are incredible. Alex has time to shine. Michael Anthony has time to shine. Like, they all have their pieces to this puzzle and it works. And that's really what my question is. Like, does it work? The answer is yes. So what dreams are made of?
There you go. Simply put. So there you go. There's a one up for the song so far. Corey Morissette, same question. Do you sleep to dream and that's what dreams are made of? Or does Love Walk In and it's just so alien that your dreams are so strange and you just wish to God it was over?
I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, I can't downvote this one. I know we're picking on the lyrics, and I'm not. Who am I to say that Sammy didn't experience all of this? He, you know, he really believes he did. So good on him. He also believed that Eddie came to him in a dream not that long ago, and they wrote a song together. Fantastic. I hope that's true, and I hope that Sammy really did enjoy his experience with whatever visited him in his bedroom when he was 19 or 20 years old. And good on him. The song is pretty cool. Like John said, musically works very well. Mike, I didn't really notice the bass guitar too much in this one. It's very kind of straightforward, but Mikey again on the background vocals really shone through. Even the drums are pretty straightforward until kind of the outro there, where you really kind of like, oh hey, there's Alex, like you said, kind of doing some cool runs there. But there's no way I could downvote this. Eddie is fantastic both on the guitar and on the keys, like John pointed out, and Sammy sounds great. 5150 is one of my all-time favorite records. This, like you said, it wasn't a huge hit. It hit number 22 on the Billboard Hot 100. It was the third single off of 5150, and apparently the first song Van Halen ever wrote with Sammy Hagar. So, yeah, absolutely, this is what dreams are made of. Now, Mark Kammeyer, are you going to make it a clean sweep here tonight, or can you just not get past the lyrical content on this one? Is this what dreams are made of, or is this dream over?
Now, I have to clarify a few things. I don't hate this song whatsoever. Don't hate it. It's not even one of their worst. It is certainly not the worst song on this album whatsoever. There's a lot of good. I'll highlight some of the good here. The keys, as John pointed out, as Corey has pointed out, like the keys are fantastic. I am not mad at the synth. I've never been mad at Van Halen synth whatsoever. In fact, in my headcanon, I feel like Eddie doubling down and just making this track very, very synth heavy and very little guitar. Just as a fuck you to everybody who's just like, to hell with the keys. He's like, no, I'm gonna give you more keys now because fuck you. That's even though it's probably not what went through his brain, but I'm not an expert, so what do I know? So I'm just gonna guess in my head canon that's what's happening. There's a lot to like about here. As we mentioned, Alex, I like that Alex gets to shine on his on the electric drums there. It's some cool stuff. It's weird, but it's cool. Not a lot going on with Michael, unfortunately, but you can't win them all. Sammy sounds great. He does. Vocally, Sammy sounds incredible. And I'm never going to, you're never going to hear me say too many bad things about him as a vocalist, obviously, but just hearing his delivery is wonderful. But I just, this is a song that I know if I'm just being completely honest, when it comes on, I'm probably going to skip it. It's because they don't really bring a lot to the table. It does sound like Van Halen, but not too much. It's a very slow paced song, and slow pace is not a bad thing, but it's not there for me. And the lyrics, take away the alien aspect of it, or take away all of it. Your own interpretation, fine. The lyrics aren't great. Sammy is not, as I have conceded, he is not the great lyricist. He is capable of great lyrics, I will maintain, but this is not one of them. And there's a lot in this song that to me seems lacking. Maybe it's because Michael doesn't get a lot of time to shine. Maybe Eddie should have brought in the guitar earlier. Maybe not. I don't know. Or maybe the lyrics should have been just a tad bit better written. I don't know. Who am I to say? I'm not going to, knock on their art. I'm just going to say, for me, this song, though not my least favorite, it's just not, it just doesn't quite work for me in this particular time. So unfortunately, because of all of that, I have to finish my point, and then I will say that the dream is over. Now, what is it, John? You're waving your arms like you look like Kermit the Frog over there flailing about. What is it? What, you want to say something?
Corey, you know what I really appreciate most about you after Mark's rant?
What's that?
How much that you appreciate nuance.
Thank you. I appreciate you appreciating my nuance, love.
I hate nuance. Nuance is clearly dumb.
Clearly, that's why I pulled out of your rant, Mark. Is nuance is dead to you?
Yeah. Ooh, well, you know, I'm nothing if not consistent on this show. I never talk about that. I'm always against nuanced Van Halen for sure. That's me. You got me, John.
No,
I'll let you have that because it's totally not your special day.
I'm just saying, like, you're sitting there and you're supposed to be the Sammy fan, and how you don't completely dig the song about alien sex love, I don't know, but you're totally missing the boat, man.
Look, I said the same thing about Up for Breakfast, and you know, it's about morning sex, so you would think all those ingredients would work, but as Corey and I discovered, it does not. So look, Sammy is not above a few stinkers here and there, just like Dave. Yeah,
no.
So
no, but in your defense there.
Yeah.
Like, morning sex, as sexy as that sounds and as good as they make it look in porn, the realities of morning sex, like, when do you brush your teeth, right? Because if you're getting up to brush your teeth, you're kind of killing the mood. But if you don't, the mood is dead. Like, there's no real great time for morning sex, as sexy as that sounds, those two things together. So I kind of get where you're saying. Again, that's nuance, Mark. I'm just explaining nuance to you right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for explaining.
It's dead on you. But
yeah.
But this song can have many interpretations. that's art at its rawest form. When we just sat here for however long we listened to that song, it felt like 85 minutes, but it could have been shorter. And while we were doing it, we all had different takes on it. And that's what art is. And this is mm-hmm. Van Halen art.
Oh, yeah. And I'll never be mad at Van Halen art. Just saying, this song in particular doesn't quite work for me as well as it did for you two. So that's all.
I just want to point out. It's fair, but Mark's also saying the song is art and he doesn't appreciate art.
that's exactly what I'm saying. I don't appreciate art and I don't appreciate, you know what? I'm no longer a Sammy fan because this song killed my love for Sammy Hagar. How dare you? Damn, you love walks in.
Apologies to Sammy.
We've changed it. Gary, you're off the hook. So, okay, I
gotta ask you guys, my new favorite thing to do on the show is to try and get see if you guys can guess how many times has Van Halen played Love Walks in their career. We'll start with John because it's definitely not his birthday anywhere close to today. Johnny, how many times do you think Van Halen played Love Walks in their career? Price is Right rules. Yeah.
I'm going first.
Yes, you are.
I would like to bet the dollar, Alex.
Okay, so we have one for John Mariano using the Price is Right strategy. Also using it incorrectly. You usually do that when you're the second person, assuming your opponent went over. So this is interesting to do that first. Johnny's got some balls on him, and I tell you, that leads to that huge load of ejaculate I talked about earlier. Mark Meyer, I'm assuming you're going to go higher than a dollar. What's your guess for how many times has Van Halen played Love Walks In?
I can't say 150, right? $1.50.
You could say two.
No, actually, I'll give them a little bit more of a, let's see. I think they probably played this song 20 times.
20 times?
Yeah.
Well, you are closer. It was actually 152.
Okay. I should have said 150. But 150. Wow. Yeah, well, that's
John.
Okay, sure.
Your strategy backfired on you. I'm sorry to say.
A dollar is 100 cents, Corey.
I'm aware. You're still wrong.
No, because had you put 100 in there, I would have been fine.
But we're not doing this in cents and dollars. We're doing this in how many times has the song been played?
When they show a dollar on the screen, it's 1.00.
We're not literally playing Price is Right. We're not going to have a little Yodler man doing the fucking whatever game either, or Plinko or any shit like that. I think he misunderstood Price is Right rules.
I think in John's defense, I think he saw the wheel and just assumed we were playing Price is Right.
Because,
you know, there's some similarities there. But no, this is not the Price is Right podcast. This is
I would like to buy an E.
Wrong show. That's Jeopardy.
You can buy a V and an H because that stands for Van Halen. And even though we all had different perspectives on and thoughts on this particular track, it does not diminish our love for the band. If it did, the show would have been over a long time ago, I assure you. But
I'm curious to see how the poll shakes out on this one. Is it going to be positive? We're going to side with you. I think it's going to be pretty close, actually.
It probably will, and I think it'll be I think the edge will go to What Dreams Are Made Of, and I'm prepared to accept that. I'm also prepared to accept everyone telling me how absolutely wrong I am and what blasphemy it probably was to downvote this, and that's fine. I would love to let's have that conversation, you guys. And to have that conversation, you got to hit us up on social media. We have a website, podcastlerot.com, where you can find the episodes of the show, find our merch, find out what's going on in the world of us, of Corey and I. And you can be on the lookout on that website because we have a live show coming up next week. That's right. We're bringing the live show back because we had so much fun doing it before. We're going to do it again. So December 17th, show up on our YouTube channel at Podcast Will Rock and join in on the conversation. We're going to have some fun guests, fun conversations, and wheel willing some good songs to talk about and just have a absolute blast. So be sure to tune in for that at our YouTube channel and the Podcast Will Rock. You can also find us on Twitter. at Podcast Will Rock, and also on Facebook and the Podcast Will Rock. We do have a Facebook, so I'm running that one. So if it seems like it's kind of dull, that's just because sometimes I don't have witty things to say like Corey does on our Twitter. But I'll get better at it. Don't worry, Corey. Where can the good people find you if they want to shout you out directly?
Oh, they can find me at CD Marcet on Twitter. And you can find us as part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, which we're honored to be a part of. Let's quickly run down the shows for you folks. And hopefully some of these folks will be joining us on the live show coming up this Saturday. Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast. Our good buddy Scott Haskin from the Uriah Heep, the Magicians Podcast. The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the other side. Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast. Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z. Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast. Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast. George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast. John, myself, and Scott on Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. John and myself also doing a Backtracks theme music, which Mark is about to be a guest on. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be a great show. Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast. Greg and Jonathan at So Far So Pod So What. Kevin at the Tom Petty Project. Quinn at And Volume for All. And finally, Sav, Nick, John, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast. Those are all the shows you can find on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network.
Woohoo. All right. And you can find me, I forgot to mention, at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to just directly shout me out, and I'm ready for the barrage of how dare you downvotes, come at me, bro. It's fine. We'll have a discussion. Our guest, the man of the hour, the man of the day, the man of the week, definitely not his birthday today, John Mariano. You said you were backing off of your social media stuff, but if people want to find out your thoughts and rants, where can they find you?
They can always find me at John Mariano NY on Twitter. I'm there. I just lurk more than I get active. But I have a feeling I'll be active on your polls this week, because I am in vehement disagreement with anybody's lack of nuance.
Oh boy, here we go. So be on the lookout for that. It's going to be war. So I'm looking forward to more conversations to come on that, and looking forward to the live show once again, December 17th. Join us on YouTube, join in the fun, listen to some good rock tunes, and that'll do it for us tonight. On behalf of Corey and John, we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.